I think it's very clear that whenever a year passes, time passes. And I just wanted to quickly remind you of what this year should be for all of us. First of all, a new year gives us an opportunity to redefine our priorities. So I want you to make a note of that and make a decision the next few days to take a review and take stock of your life. Are the things I'm doing important or just urgent? Don't confuse urgent things with important things. Secondly, a new year gives an opportunity for us to redefine our purpose. Are we still on course for what we were born to do? A new year also gives us opportunity to redefine our life's vision. Do we know exactly what we want to do for the next 25 years? Are we still in line with our clear vision for our lives? Is that vision on paper still? Has it been refined? I'm doing that myself for my own life. A new year also gives opportunity for us to reestablish worthwhile goals. Why do you say worthwhile? In other words, they should be worth your while. You can establish goals that waste your time because they don't take you toward your vision. So go back and don't be afraid to mark out some things that don't make sense. Don't be afraid to give up on things that are not important anymore. Don't be afraid to confess that I was off with that. Let me get back on. It's better to do it now than to try and do it later. A new year also gives us opportunity to bury the past and to move into a future that we haven't created yet. So please, get over it. Tell your neighbor, get over it. Tell him, whatever it was, get over it right now in this meeting. Yeah. Leave all the baggage you had in 2010, in 2010. Loose yourself, cut off all the weight, get rid of stuff that has been distracting you, and forget the past. That's what a new year does. It's a powerful change. I talked about redeeming the time. And this is so important. I want you to turn your Bibles to Ephesians. I want you to turn there in your own Bible. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians 5 gives great advice about your life. It begins out by saying, wake up. Paul was not talking to sleeping people. Physically, he was speaking to people who were sleeping through life, mundane, boring, day-to-day routine, same traffic jam, same clothes, same friends, same activities, same habits, same TV shows. He said, wake up. You can be walking in sleep. You can spend years sleepwalking. Look at that verse. Take your pen, underline it in your Bible. Wake up, O sleeper. Arise. That means get yourself up. Arise means no one's going to change your condition. Arise is self-initiated action. Nothing will change this year until you change it. Wake up. How many of you ever wake up but didn't arise? Some of y'all did that this morning. Some of y'all woke up at 7 and still came to church at 10. Because you woke up, but you didn't arise. You know, people love to come to watch night services to wake up. But then when the meeting is over, they go back to sleep. The whole year. Arise after you wake up. And then he says, and let Christ shine upon you. Christ means the anointed king. Shine means exposure. When you wake up and you get up, he'll show you everything you've been doing wrong. He will expose all of your bad decisions, your irresponsible behavior. He will show you how you've been lazy in certain areas of your life last year. He'll expose all the wrong company you've been keeping. He'll expose how you waste money. Imagine if you had saved some of that money last year. He shines on us. Wake up. Good. Get up. Fine. And here's what's wrong, he says. Now, once you wake up and you arise and he shows you what's lacking in your life, the good news is this. It says, be careful how you walk away from the bed. The bed is where you've been sleeping all last year. Your life is your bed. The lifestyle is your bed. And you've been sleeping with habits all year. And God says, walk away from the bed. Walk away from the lifestyle. Why? Because last year was a time element. It was 12 months. Now you got 12 months ahead of you. One more time. And it says, do not be unwise, but be what? Wise. Write the word wisdom down. Wise. Wisdom. This is what God is saying to you this year. Everybody say wisdom. Say wise. The word wisdom, here's what it means. Write it down. It means applied knowledge. Applied knowledge. Wisdom is different from knowledge and understanding. Knowledge is information. Wisdom is different. Understanding is comprehension. But wisdom is application. God didn't say, arise and walk away from your old life with knowledge. Because you already got so much knowledge last year. The teaching that you got is enough for people to fly from the Congo and give a testimony. And you're still stuck with some habits. Can I suggest that this year should be maybe in your life the year of application? Say it. This is the year of practical life. Where everything, the theories, the principles, and all this great revelation you've gotten from God on the kingdom, God said, I want you to apply them this year. I want wisdom this year. Why? Look at the next statement. He says, the next verse says, redeeming the time. Because you ain't got long to live. This term, days are evil, means days are short. That's what it means. This same statement is found in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, the last chapter, actually. And it says, remember now thy creator in the days of your youth, while the evil days come not. That means your years are not cut off. He says, wake up, redeem the time, because you ain't going to live as long as you think. He's trying to give us a consciousness of death. Do you know what motivates me? My death. There's one thing you can be sure of. You will die. Okay? Get over that. Accept that. Now, once you get that cleared off on your mind, I'm going to die, then you back up and then you start living sensibly. Yeah? Death is a great motivator. Every time I think of doing something that God challenges me to do, and I'm afraid to do it, He always reminds me, how long will you be dead? Let me say it another way too, for some of you who are putting things off. Maybe you wanted to go on a cruise all your life. And you keep saying, someday I'll do it. And that's been 10 years. Imagine going to heaven and never been on a cruise. We're going to the Holy Land in June this year. Some of you are saying, I ain't got no money. Listen, you ain't going to never have the money. God doesn't work with money. God works with decisions and desires. Write it down. I just gave you an important principle. God doesn't provide money first. He works with desires and decisions. God never says, I will give you what you got money to pay for. Does He? No. He says, acknowledge me, and I will give you the desires that are in your mind. So when you want to do something in life, first you got to desire it. Now desire is a deep word, because desire means you are passionate, committed, dedicated, and won't quit till you get something. Is that how bad you want to go to Israel? Or is it just a tour? See, desires means that you are willing to pay a price. Then God provides the price. God doesn't give you what you are interested in. He gives you what you are passionate for. Casual faith will never attract God. Passionate faith attracts God's provision. Redeem the time, for the days are evil. In other words, live in a way where every day is a day of passion. Redeeming the time means I am going to get back everything that I lost by bad use of time. Look at verse 17. It says, wherefore be ye not foolish. What is foolish? Okay. If wise means to apply knowledge, then foolish means what? To get knowledge but don't apply it. God is saying there's some very educated fools. I don't think anybody, perhaps in this country, and I hope I don't get in trouble for saying this, have received so much revelation than people who come to this place. So knowledge ain't your problem. Now, please don't stone me. But let's read what God says. Okay, read verse 17. Wherefore, do not be foolish. Don't look now. There's one right behind you. A foolish person could have a lot of knowledge. It's like a smoking doctor. Am I right? A smoking doctor is a fool. He knows what cigarettes will do, but he smokes. So he has knowledge, but no wisdom. So don't think ignorance makes you fool. Knowledge makes you fool. Because knowledge increases your capacity to be a fool. Are you getting it? Tell your neighbor, you should have never come to this place. Once Jesus said to the disciples, to the Pharisees, he said to the Pharisees and scribes, he said, if I had not come to you and spoken my words to you, you would be excused in your sins. But because I have come to you and I have told you the truth, you will die in your sin, he said. Wake up, he says. This year must be a year that you redeem the time because you ain't got much of it. Jesus died at 30 years old. How old are you? He did so much in 3 years, it embarrasses us. His ministry lasted 3 years, and he saved the whole world in 3 years. That's what I call using your time. How long have you been living? Redeeming the time. Because he says, if you don't, you'll be foolish. The next statement, read it. But understand what the will of the Lord is. He shifts to purpose. He says, find out God's will for your life so you can stop wasting your time, your energy, your gifts, your talents, your wonderful, beautiful presence on the wrong people. The will of God is supposed to dictate your schedule. The will of God is supposed to dictate your company. Can you imagine that, sis? The will of God should tell you who to be with, who not to be with. And I told you the other night, some folks ain't going to like the fact that you don't want to be with them. It's okay to leave people. Not everybody's supposed to be with you. So stop trying to get everyone to like you. Choose your company based on your destiny. Jesus Christ chose his friends. He left his family and chose his friends. Some of you left your family and came to this church. Do you know why? Because I am good company. Hopefully. That you are being helped and elevated, encouraged and challenged to become great. Sometimes it's terrible to go home for some of you. Going home is a coming down. Because you got to be among people who are always complaining, finding fault, always negative. I mean, it's like you want to stay on the mountain. You have to protect your life. It says, understand the will of God. And then he says, and be not drunk with wine. Now, back there in Paul's day, they used to smoke weed reefer. I am sure they had opium in that part of the world. I'm sure they still do. They had marijuana. They had cocaine, etc. Now, we are amazing people. Eh? We outlaw marijuana, cocaine, and there's other stuff, but we legalize what Paul say. The most dangerous drugs in the Bahamas is alcohol. Did you know that? Ask any doctor. We legalize the worst one because that one is so subtle. You know, when you suck up some cocaine, you get hit right away. Bam! Head gone. You suck on a reefer a few times, woo, all of a sudden you see colors and everybody's cool. But when you drink one beer, you don't feel nothing. Second bear, nothing. You think you're cool. And by the time the fifth bear hits you and that half a cup of Dumonet and some standard. What is standard? You don't want to know what standard is. Even Nigeria, you know standard is. Standard? Standard is the alcohol in the Bahamas. When you open the bottle, smoke has come out. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. Used to drink that. Paul says, look, if you drink or you take anything that disturbs your mental faculty, if you take anything that disturbs your focus, he says, you are destroying your time. I've known people who were in base houses for weeks. A base house is a house where people go to take drugs with other drug users. They can spend months in there. Their life goes by. Any habit that controls your life is a time stealer. It may not be alcohol. It may not be drugs. It could be pornography. It could be prostitution. Male and female. Anything habitual is dangerous. It's a time stealer. Let me prove that for you. This is very interesting. The word redeem. Redeem the time is an important word. I talked about this the other night. Redeem means to own something. If I say to you, redeem your time, what do I mean? To take ownership of it again. Get it? That means you cannot allow this year for anyone or anything to control your time that is not important to your purpose. The word redeem also means to fulfill a pledge. It also means to convert into value. To redeem money or to redeem something someone owes you means that they actually bring it back to you. Redeem the time means you go back and get the time that was stolen last year. That means you stop letting people use your life. The last one I thought was very interesting. Redeem means to repossess something. Redeem the time, for the days are evil. Repossess time. Why? Because you ain't got long to live, it says. God equates life with time. And your life is your time. And whatever you're doing with your time, that's your life. So anyone or anything that consumes your time is consuming your life. Some people are parasites. They suck your time. It's going to be a good year. You're going to repossess your life. Say it loud. I will repossess my life. How? I'm going to control my time again. Yeah. I will sit down and read the Bible every morning for 1 hour. You got to control that hour. I will go to prayer meeting every Monday at this church. Why? I'm going to control that time again. I'm going to be at church at 9:30 to worship God as a corporate effort. Why? I want to control the time again. We've lost control. Redeem the time. Here's something I thought was interesting. The translation of this verse is found. Paul wrote this verse three or four times in different books. In Galatians 4, he says, walk in wisdom toward those who are what? Outside, redeeming the time. Walk in what? Wisdom toward who? He said, look, when you walk out of your house, a lot of people outside means unsaved people. They're not a part of the kingdom. He said, walk with them wisely. Why? Because they will eat your time up. Look at that verse. Wisdom means what? Apply knowledge. He said, when you meet people, kick your knowledge in fast. Let me see this person making sense. Some folks want an appointment to talk foolishness. You're listening to me? There's some folks who want to take you on a date and they ain't got no sense. There's some people who want to marry you to spend the rest of their life parasitically you. That's a new word. Sucking your life out of your life. When you deal with people, he says, be wise. Protect your time. Say with me, protect your time. There's some friends who ain't friends. You know that. 2010 is the year to take stock, do some inventory, and throw some old things out of the warehouse. And it might be people. It might be habits. It might be a routine that ain't working. Look at this next verse in Colossians 4 or 5. It says, read it for me. Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Ladies and gentlemen, when you walk out of this building today and you meet someone in the lobby, just check to see if it's an opportunity. Because not everything that presents itself to you is an opportunity. I discovered something about the devil. Write this down. The devil's greatest weapon is good things. What did I say? The devil's greatest weapon against the kingdom citizen is good things. See, the devil knows you ain't stupid enough to do bad things. So he won't tempt you to do bad things. You're too smart for that. So what he does is he gives you good things to do that are not right for you. Why? Because all the devil wants is your time. Because he knows your time is your life. Whew. Heavy, huh? So Satan will get you to do a lot of good things. Preoccupy you. Preoccupation is dangerous. He will get you working on things that God never told you to do. And they are all good things. And when you're over, no one even knew you lived. The secret to protecting your time is knowing your purpose. Because your purpose protects you from doing good things at the expense of right things. This is why you can say no in life very easily. No is only possible when yes is known. Selah. Listen to me. This year, beginning this week, I promise you, there'll be a lot of opportunities coming your way. Some of them are demonically dressed in good stuff. All kind of deals will come across your desk. Business ideas, options, alternatives, offers. And you got to have the Spirit of God to discern. Because the devil is after your time. You know, sometimes you think they want to kill you. He don't want to kill you. He just want to kill your time. Because your time is your life. Worshipping God is a good thing. Isn't it? Well, King Saul tried that. You remember King Saul? King Saul was told by God to go into a city, take the city, and kill all the animals in the city. While they were killing the animals, he ran into some beautiful sheep. He told the soldiers, don't kill those ones. He says, I want to use them to worship God with. Wow. Now, is that a bad thing? That's a good thing. And the Bible says he brought the sheep back to the camp, and the prophet Samuel came to visit because the Lord told him to go and check what this man did. He was a king. And the prophet said to Samuel, did you obey the Lord? I mean, to Saul, did you obey the Lord? And Saul says, yes, I obeyed the Lord. I did what the Lord said. And Samuel says, then if you obeyed the Lord, what is that bleating I hear behind the tent? And his explanation is your explanation very often. We tell God what is good for him. I'm doing this for you. God says, no, it ain't what you do for me. It's what I tell you to do. He took a good thing and destroyed the right thing. And the prophet says, because you disobeyed God, you are no longer king. And then that's when he made this statement you hear often. He said, King Saul, don't you know? It is more important to obey God than to worship God. obedience is better than sacrifice. Everybody say obedience. Obeying the laws of God is more important than singing in the choir. Obeying the laws of God is more important than preaching in the pulpit. God fired many preachers long time ago. Do you know when Saul was fired, he was still wearing the crown? Oh yeah, the robes of their God, I don't know who they are. They fired long time. Why? Because they would rather worship than obey. He says, look, not every opportunity is good. So live your life to make sure that everything you do is an opportunity that's worth your time. This year, manage your time. I thought this was interesting. Proverbs 16 says what? To man belongs the plans of the heart, but God gives the answer of the tongue. This verse tells us that God doesn't plan your life. You plan it. But then the chapter, this book says, many are the plans in a man's heart, but the Lord's purpose will prevail. So you should make your plans based on the purpose of God. Once you know God's vision and plan for your life, once you know God's passion for your life, and this year you're going to find it again, I promise you. When you read the book on authority, it's going to make sense. Because there's an area of authority you were born with that makes you dangerous. And once you find it, you become free from people. And that position of authority is what gives you the power to make plans. I like this verse. Many are the plans in a man's heart, but it is the Lord's answer of the tongue that brings it to pass. Now this statement, answer of the tongue, or reply to the tongue, it means explanation. Let me explain that. God says, look, I will give you some dreams and ideas. They're going to be very massive. I want you to write them down. I didn't ask you to pay for them. I asked you to write them down. To man belongs the plans. God doesn't write your life's plan for you. You have to write it. He gives you the desires. He gives you the passions. He gives you the dreams and the vision. You write the plan down, he says. And then I will reply on how it's going to be paid for. The reason why we don't pursue vision and plans is because we think we got to also find the money first. Or we got to find the people. Or we got to find the equipment. God said, no, no, no. It doesn't work that way. You take my dream, my assignment, my authority in your life, and you put it on paper. You put it on a plan. He says, and I will explain how it's going to be done. Stop being afraid to write your dream. Look at the next verse. In the same chapter, Proverbs 16:3, it says, commit your way to the Lord, and whatever you do shall succeed. All your plans will succeed. First, you get the plans from God's purpose. You put them on paper. God said, don't worry about how it's going to be paid. And then he says, I'll make sure they succeed. He didn't tell you how long, eh? But he guarantees you a result. The Lord says he works out everything for his own ends. God works out how many things? Some of you went through some difficult moments in 2010. God said, okay, no problem. I'm going to use that. I'm going to use that for something. Every bad experience, every good experience, whatever, I'm going to work it out for your end in the end. So you forget it and he'll fix it. He is going to take everything that you thought was a big mistake. He could turn it into a big miracle. The job you had for 20 years, you lost last year. God said, no problem. I'm going to work this out for your, for my own end. He says, my own end. His end. He has a plan and a purpose for your life. And all the stuff that you go through, he takes it and he puts it into his plan. He says, I'm going to work this in. I'm going to use this as an asset. How can God use a deficit as an asset? Only God can turn a wonder into a wonderful. He is going to use what you lost to be the source of gain. I'm talking to somebody here. All that you thought you tried so hard and you still lost everything. God said, no, I'm going to work this. Look at that verse. I'm going to work everything for my end. His vision for your life cannot be stopped. The last verse I want you to read from Proverbs is, look at verse 9, same chapter. Read aloud for me. In his heart a man makes the plans of his course, but the Lord determines the steps of that plan. Now, steps are under God's control. Joseph saw his plan to sit on the throne as a king, but he never had an idea about the steps. Now, let me tell you something I figured out by God a long time ago, so I don't worry about nothing in my life. God will always show you your destiny. He'll show you your purpose. He'll show you your end. He will never show you the plan. I'm going to say it again. God will show you your vision. He'll show you your destiny. He will show you your end. He'll show you all the great future you have. He'll let you see details. Wow. He'll never show you how to get there. Here's why. Because the purpose is the end, but the plan is the process. And God will not show you the process and the plan, because if you know the process and plan, you won't want the purpose anymore. You know what I mean? In other words, if Joseph had seen, okay, I'm on the throne, praise the Lord. First you got to get your clothes torn off. Your brothers will cuss you. They put you in a pit. You become a slave. They put you in jail. The woman lie on you. Then you get to the throne. Joe said, listen, you can keep that. Forget that. I'm going to stay. I'm gonna be a shepherd right here in the bush. The steps. He controls the steps. Could you imagine that being in a pit was a step? What am I doing out here in this dumb job? Because that's a step. Just a step. That ain't the end. You saw the end, so this can't be the end because you already saw the vision. So where you are got to be just a step. So you don't panic if you are in a step. Matter of fact, I want you to go to work on Tuesday and tell everybody, I'm stepping in here. They said, what are you doing here? Just a step, child. Someone need to hear that right now. Some of you lost your business, had to go back to a job. God says, look, that's fine. All this is in the plan. I'm working all this in for my good, he said, not yours. And the step is mine. You don't panic if you know your purpose. Purpose gives you patience. Write it down. If you know what you see is not what you saw, then what you see is temporary. What did you see ultimately? What did you dream of ultimately doing? See, that's, you keep that in your mind. You know how many years it took Joseph to get to that place? I always imagine, I'm going to do a movie one time with Joseph. I saw this movie in my mind. I saw Joseph, man, clothes torn off. Joe stayed in the pit and had to pee in the pit. He had to urinate in the pit. He had to pass his refuse in the pit. This guy came out of the pit stink. Why? You stuck in a pit. When he came out, he was smelly. He was ugly. He was messed up. And then they tied him to a camel in the desert. And they took him all the way through the Sinai Desert, staggering under the heat of the Arabian sun. Scorched lips, parched hair, sun belching and burning his feet. And every time the camel dropped a load, he got to walk in it. Oh, but you see, that was just a step on his way to a throne. Anybody following a camel this morning? Repeat after me. Don't worry about the camel. Keep on trucking. Give God a hand. He knows where you're going. The Lord determines the steps. Now you got the plan clear. You know the plan. He said, but the Lord determines the steps. Where are you at right now? You know the step you're in. You know, I remember when my captain, Doc is at the airport now. Doc told me, he said, Pastor Miles, we've arrived at a destination, Pastor. He said, but they put us in a holding pattern. Everybody say, I'm arrived, but I'm on a holding pattern. Sometimes you wonder, God, why am I just stuck up here? Nothing's happening. God said, I got a holding pattern. Why? I'm trying to clear some things on the ground. Oh, hallelujah. There's some things God's fixing before you land. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. And again, I say, just hold the pattern. Just hold the pattern. Just hold the pattern. Why are you working here? I'm just holding the pattern, baby. Just holding the pattern. Why you come back here? I'm just holding the pattern. Holding the pattern. Some of you have been waiting for a long time for a breakthrough. I believe this meeting today, the first Sunday, is the day the miracle arrives. Lift your hands right now by faith and say, Lord, today it arrives. I receive it. Everybody says landing time. You know, listen, when it's time to land, no one can stop you from landing. The tower is in control. I'm about to shout all by myself. It's landing time for some of you. January going to be such a beautiful change. You're going to say, wow, I'm finally on the ground. No more resistance. He determines the steps. He knows where you are. He knows you are in a pit. Matter of fact, the pit was planned. My wife and I went to Egypt. I'll never forget. The guy told us in Egypt, he said, Dr. Monroe, see that there? That's the Sinai Desert. As far as I could see, it was sand and mountains. Nothing. No green, no trees. He said, that's where they had to walk to get to Israel. He said, the same path Joseph took to come to Egypt. We were in Egypt. He said, there's no water out there. But the only water they can get out there is when the rain falls up far north in the mountains. It runs down the mountains and it appears in the desert out of nowhere. And it's only there for about 2 hours. So you got to catch it because it dries up. So what they did, they would dig big holes in the desert, big, massive holes in the desert, right where the stream would come from the mountain. And when the mountain dropped the water down, it would come into the desert, and it would fill the hole. They'd cover it up. And they have water in the desert. That's what God meant when he says, I will give you springs in the desert. That means there's some rain somewhere. Oh, excuse me, I just felt something. Ow. The Lord just spoke to me just now. He said, you know, your praise brings the clouds. I just felt a revelation. So while you praise him all morning, that's okay. He's collecting the clouds. He said, and the clouds will drift to the mount of the Lord. And by April, all of a sudden you're going to see some water in your life appear. But it was your praise that's coming back in the form of a blessing. Come on, somebody, give God a glorified praise. He's going to bring it back. Woo, Lord have mercy. That's why he says, bless me in the prison. Why? He collecting clouds. And so they said that these holes were always right where the big roads came between Egypt and Syria. You know, Israel is right on the way. He said, when they placed Joseph in the pit, his brothers didn't realize that the pit they put him in was on the highway to Egypt. And caravans were coming back and forth, taking trading material back and forth from Syria all the way down to Africa and Egypt. And they just so happened to put
Joseph in a specific pit where the caravans go to Egypt. So even the pit was a purposified pit. Pit. Because there was someone on the way to pick him up to take him to his destiny. Can I suggest to you that the pit you think you are in is a holding pattern because someone is on the way coming to pick you up to take you to your next step. That's why God says, be patient. Wait on the Lord and He will renew your strength. And then He says, you will rise like an eagle. I feel God talking to somebody. Some of you right now, you're frustrated. You say, I'm going into 2:11 with the same problem. God said, no, no, no. The pit period is over. Use your faith, I receive it right now. You got to grab it for yourself. You got to grab it for yourself. See, I receive it right now. My pit period is over. Someone can show up in your life in 2 weeks and change the rest of your life forever. I believe it. I believe it for myself. Lord, where's the next appointment? Let the caravan come and get me. Take me to my next level. God always hides your future in people. He brings people to take you to the next step. Never panic in a pit, because He works out every step. Trust in the Lord. Say it. Trust means you will trust Him in the pit. You don't know how much God is. I believe you. Let me tell you what gives you pages in the pit. Purpose. See, once you've seen the end, then only the end is permanent. Selah. What did I say? When you've seen the end, so the question is, what did you see about your business? What did you see yourself being at the end? Owning, controlling. That's the end. Everything else can't last. Give God a big thank you right there. It can't last. Oh, I feel a faith rising in this room this morning. We need to go out of here trusting God that our time will not be wasted anymore. Let me close with this psalm. And next week, we're going to talk about how this works with citizenship. Read this verse. You never saw this verse before in your life. Psalm 31, verse 15. Read. My times are in your hands. Come on, give God a praise. Hallelujah. He said, look, your time is your life, and I got your time. Let me control your time, and I'll control your life, he says. My times are in your hands. Next verse says what? Read. Deliver me from my enemies and from those who pursue me. Let your face, your favor, shine on your servant. Save me from unfailing love. In love, rather. Let me not be put to shame. Now, this, the last part is very important. Wouldn't it be a shame for Joseph to tell all of his brothers he was going to be a king and he died in a pit? Let me tell you what David is saying. David is saying, look, whatever you saw is important to God's reputation. I'm getting ready to go now. I'm going to scream all by myself. Listen, your purpose is a part of God's pride. He won't allow you to fail to mess up His reputation. The Bible says He will not put you in a position where you'll be ashamed. You make Him ashamed. So He put your times in His hands. He said, I'm going to control this. Give me your times. Give me your time. Use your time for my purpose, and I'll make sure none of us are embarrassed. You know me. Whatever you told them, I can make sure it becomes the reality to protect myself and protect you. Repeat after me. I am on my way to what I saw. Lift your hands and give God a big thank you right there. That's where you are. How about a scream for a couple of seconds right there? I want you to get this in your spirit. What you saw as your future is God's past. Oh man, you ain't got what I'm talking about. What you're trying to start is already finished. That's the point I'm making. God already finished you, and now he put you to begin it, so he ain't concerned about whether you're going to get there. What he wants is obedience. Obedience. 2:11. The year of protecting your time. So walk in that spirit. Don't let nothing stop you. Because here is the greatest thing to remember. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Read out loud. Everything is permissible for me to do, but not everything is beneficial. Wow. Read the next verse. Everything is permissible for me to do, but not everything can master my life. Read the next verse. Everything is permissible, but not everything is beneficial. Everything is permissible, but not everything is constructive. Think about what you're reading. The Bible says you've got a brain and a free will. You can do anything you want this year. But he says not everything you do is beneficial to what you were born to do. What's the last word in that sentence? Construction. Okay, let me tell you something. Your life is a project. If you're going to build a house, there's certain things you need. There's certain things you don't need. For example, you don't need no leaf. No. Now, leaves are good. Yeah. But when you're building a house, you don't need leaves. My point is, everything is permissible. But it doesn't add to your construction. Don't waste your time on things, projects, clubs. Sometimes we join clubs, wasting our time. Time to go to the club. No, it's okay. Red Club, Lions Club, the Rotary Club, all the clubs, you know, golf club, all these clubs. Listen, check your life. You're gonna soon be dead, man. And half of the folks in the club already got money. You ain't got none. You understand? We spend our time hours with these people, and they ain't giving you nothing. They're playing golf. They ain't giving you no money. Just playing golf. They ain't giving you no money. Check your clubs. I know I touch a little nerve there, but you all need to check. Look at the word. Is this constructive to my life? That's the question. My time. Got to be a part of the project of building my life. This is the first week. You got a chance now to fix it. Lay some things out. Put some boundaries in your life. Lay some criteria. This, I will not do this and do that. This is what I'm going to check for, because I ain't got time to waste time. I got a building to build. I got a life to construct. I have a vision to complete. I got something to do with my life. Anybody got that in Jesus' name? Construction. So, that's why we can focus on citizenship authority. Our theme this year is a simple one. I want to rediscover God's authority in my life that I'm supposed to fulfill as a citizen. Are you ready? Do you feel ready this morning? Do you feel something on coming off you? All right, why don't you stand up on your feet, everybody? We're getting ready to go to Freeport to continue this sermon. Tell your neighbor, I hope you're not an anchor in my life. I don't want no dead weight in my life. Tell your neighbor, I want you to be a wind under my wing. And I hear an amen. If the Lord spoke to you this morning and you know you heard his voice in any small way, lift your hands right now and begin to thank him for setting you free from time wasters. Worship him right now where you are and give him praise for speaking to your life. All of us need to be reminded that our life is our time and that God wants us to use our time, redeem the time, take back your time, repossess your life, repossess your energy, repossess your relationships, repossess your talents. Give them back to God.
Here I am in your presence, lifting holy hands to you.
Here I am, sing it.
Here I am. Praising Jesus
for the things he brought me through. Sing it again.
Here I am.
Here I am.
In your presence.
In your presence.
Lifting holy hands.
Lifting holy hands to you.
Here I am.
When I was meditating on the watch night and the message that the Lord spoke into my heart of a time, I said, Lord, what are the people supposed to do in response? He gave me one word. He says, acknowledge me. Acknowledge. Everybody say it. The Bible says, acknowledge him in all your ways, and he will give you what? The desires of your heart. He'll direct your path. This moment right now, that's all God wants from you. Acknowledgement means, I recognize your total control over everything I am. I acknowledge that I need you. This year can be a bad year. This year can be your best year. It depends on what you do. So, I want you to acknowledge him this morning. However you want to do that. I envision people coming down to this altar this morning and just surrendering everything back to God. That's what I saw. People just say, Lord, 2:11 is not my year, it's yours. I acknowledge you in all. Financial, physical, relational, business, every area, education. I acknowledge you. We're going to sing this through one more time. This altar and these steps are open for you to come. This goes from pastors all the way down to the security guard. If you want God to take over the steps of your life, one more time, acknowledge him. You know what he said to you. Just go ahead and kneel right there and ask God, take back what I took from you. Take back control of my life. And I acknowledge you today. I will not abuse my time any longer. My time is your time.
Here I am in your presence.
Come as the Lord speaks to you. Find a space on the road. You can bring your purses with you if you want to. But just come and let this be the morning of acknowledgement.
Praising Jesus.
Lord, I give you my year again
for the things
in Freeport, just come down front and kneel right there in that hotel. Let the Lord take your life again.
Here I am.
This is the morning of acknowledgement.
In your presence.
Oh, we cry out to you.
Lifting holy hands to you.
Here I am.